I want to thank Bob and the staff here at the church for their hospitality and for allowing me the opportunity to come and to share with you today. We do enjoy the opportunities to come back and to express both our love and our thanks to you for the partnership that we share in the gospel. And those words of Paul ring true, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. And so we thank you for that partnership that we have that allows us to be able to be there in England and to carry on with the ministry that God has given us. The Faith Promise has been a tremendous opportunity to provide for us over the years, and we are grateful to you for that. In recent years, many new people have come on board, and we are grateful for that, and we're grateful for God's provision through you. And the way the Faith Promise has been going, I believe last year, Jennifer, who came to visit us, kind of had some impact upon that. Bob and I decided that it's going so well, I better not show up and be here to ruin that. So I get the opportunity to come today and to preach and to share with you. And then you can pray over the next couple of weeks and decide if you want to be a part of that opportunity. I would acknowledge that Bethany Christian Church over the years has challenged many, many people, and there are a tremendous amount of missionaries that have gone out from this church. And each one of those missionaries, if I started naming them, I would name the old school people. But I know in recent years there's been many young ones who have also gone out. But each one of them are also worthy of your prayer support and worthy of your financial support, as they too are following the call of God upon their lives. What an incredible thing. Had the lady that was here just a couple of weeks ago, orphanage in South Africa. I've already tipped my daughter Kirsten, who wants to go to South Africa and take a year out before she enters university, and she wants to work in an orphanage. So I sent back to England and said, hey, you wouldn't believe this, but on this Sunday. Now, there's an orphanage that we support that's also from Manor Park Church that's there in South Africa. And that's where she's probably leaning to go. But incredible, incredible opportunities to partner together with people that God calls to other places in the world. Debbie's doing great. She's still my best part forward. Too bad she couldn't come and I could be here, be there, but she sends her love to you. She now has a full-time job as a teacher or as one who works with special needs children, and she just loves that. She just loves the opportunity that she has to work with special needs children. Right now, she's also providing support to probably one of our couples that are close friends to us. He is the youth minister at the church that we started, Ryan and Annie. Lovely couple. In their 30s, Annie now has cancer, and she is in the last days unless God intervenes. And so Deb is there with her. And somebody graciously here at the church offered to Debbie to come back, to fly Debbie back for Mike's graduation. I knew what she would say. She said, you know what? I'm going to stay here beside Annie until either the Lord heals her or he takes her to be with him. So no question about to Deb where she needs to be and what she needs to be doing. So she sends her love to you, and Kirsten does too. Kirsten may come. She may take that offer. So she may be here in December. Michael graduates from Indiana Wesleyan December the 17th. He has decided to return to England, and he's going to study law in England. So this is a bit of a change in his plans, but as he packs up here at the end of December, he will go back to England and be there to do his studies. It's cheaper, it's quicker, And he's already been offered a position at a law firm there. So he's probably going to head back there to England. Becca will stay on. She will stay here. And she could be done with her degree in 2 years unless she changes her major again. Only the Lord knows what's going to happen. They will probably be here for the second service. They would have been here for the first, but it takes Becca longer to get ready. So they'll probably be here for the second service if you look as you go out the door. But God's blessed us with wonderful children that also have a heart for Him and are open to go and to be whatever God wants them to and to be. So that's probably an update, enough update on the family. Let me do just a bit more update on the churches. I told Denny Belts the other day that I was studying and preparing to preach today. And Denny said, you know, Larry, that's probably wasted effort. By the time you get done talking, it'll be time for the invitation and time to go. He probably was right about that, but I'm not going to give it to him yet. I agree that. But, you know, the church that we went over to begin with and planted there in Broms Grove is still going strong. They run about 150. They were a bit more than that when there were some problems that developed, and they sorted those, but they're going strong. They invite me to come back there and preach about 4 times a year. In fact, I was supposed to be there to preach this morning, that new song. I enjoy those opportunities. It's been a long enough time that when I come back, they interview me so the people there know who I am. Not that that matters, but that's the case. The Purtiswell Church, community church that we helped with, they are constituting today, I have already done that, but constituted today as a church. So legally, they are now recognized as a church up on the north side of Worcester. And they're going strong. They've got a police officer who is their pastor, their minister. So when he tells me it's time to be done, I pretty much have to be done. But they're going strong. Manor Park Church, the one that we planted there in Worcester, they have taken on board what we've been talking about in this vision to not just plant a church, but to plant churches that in turn will help us to plant other churches so that we can create a church planting movement. That's what it's going to take. And they have taken that on board. And this year, they're in a position where they're going to be able, within the next 6 months, to start 3 other churches as well as helping us. So they financially support us and give to us. And there is an anonymous individual at the church that generously gives also above that. But they're in the midst of planting 3 churches. One's in a village that's an English thatched roof, kind of, you know, posh. I don't think we use that word here, do we? A very nice village. But on the other hand, they're planting one in Warndon, which Warndon, in the scheme of things in England, ranks in the top 5% of estates with unemployed people and the poor people. So they're targeting that estate, and the estate would be like a housing addition, but this housing addition has like 10,000 people that live there. But it is one of the poorest and least employed sections of the country, and it's right there in Worcester where we're at. And then they're also involved in another church that they're planting. So they are taking to heart what we said. They run about 200. And with each of these church plants, they're sending in about 20 people. So they're well aware that it's going to change the whole dynamic of who they are as they send out their very best to be involved in these church plants. Now, the last thing that I'll tell you before we preach, I got to look at that clock back there. Yeah, okay. What are we up to? You know that we decided to stay there in Worcester we prayed and we sought the Lord and decided that we wanted to reach a group of people that are pretty well absent from the church. And so we are trying to reach with the gospel people that are in their 20s to 30 years of age. And when you go to a church in England, they're just not there. They're not there. And so rather than try to figure out how to get them to come to us, we are going to them. And that's what those pictures were indicative of. That on Saturday nights, a team of 7, 8, sometimes the most we've had is 12, we go into the city and we go in from 11 o'clock at night till 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday mornings. And we engage people in conversations. I can tell you several things about that. Whenever we do the pictures, they always put their arm around you. We don't actually stand out there all night with people having our arms around us. But when you're doing photos, they always bunch up. They always bunch up. The guy, the Romanian that does the photography for me, always takes them to my wife first. And then she approves which one actually will go online and go forward in that way. So that's a good thing. But we go in on the Saturday nights. And we give out the bottles of water. We offer free bottles of water. People who have consumed alcohol are generally thirsty, and they are very keen to get a bottle of water. When we give it to them for free, then they're very curious. Who are you, and why would you be giving away bottles of water in the night? I want that kind of a job. How much do you get paid? Well, we don't get paid. We're followers of Jesus. We love Jesus. We think if Jesus were actually here in the city, he would be here. He would be out here in this place that's best known to the ambulance drivers and to the police, and he would be meeting the needs of you. So it's quite fascinating where those conversations lead. Not everybody is drunk. Even some that are drunk can remember what you talk about. They'll bring their friends back and they will say, "Hey, this is Glow, God's Light on Worcester, and they're not into religious stuff. They like Jesus." You know, it's amazing what they can remember and what they can share. I've got one lad that stands with me and distributes bottles of water. And they say, "Are you part of Glow?" He says, "Well, they won't let me in because you got to be a believer." So he's a great kid. We're going to see him come to Christ. And so anyway, we're involved in that ministry. We are looking for persons of peace, people that are unbelievers but are spiritually interested. And we invite them to join us in a Bible study. And we have these discovery studies that we are beginning. We've got one that's going while I'm gone. When I come back, we anticipate that we can get another 6 going. And they're a look through the main themes of the Scripture, leading right up to Jesus. But here's how we start with them. Here's how we start with them. We say the Word of God is given to us, and it is God speaking to us. So what is He saying to you? So when we come together and we look in the Word, we look with the idea, what is God saying to you? Then the next question we ask is, how are you going to respond in obedience to that? The Word of God is not really to accumulate more and more knowledge. It is for the purpose of us understanding God's will and then being active in doing that. If you look at the language of God, the language of love, it's all about Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I've asked you to do. And so we ask them, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this? Then the last question we ask them is, who are you going to share it with? So isn't that an interesting way of doing Bible study? We do Bible study, then we say, what's God saying to you? How are you going to respond in obedience? Now, who are you going to tell it to? And they believe it. They go out and they tell their friends. And that's how we're going to see that thing grow and grow and grow. As you're teaching them obedience, when you get to the bits about Jesus, they're ready to go. They're ready to go on that. And so that's where we're at. So probably enough about the ministry. I'll hang around afterwards. If you want to ask me questions about what we're doing, I'll be happy to answer those. I am getting older. When I go into the city on a Saturday night like that, usually I'm okay on Sunday morning. But Monday Monday, I've decided, is not a good day to be doing anything that is intelligent. So I put unleaded fuel in my diesel car on a Monday, laying against the car, taking a little nap. And that was very costly to put unleaded in my diesel car. I mow the grass in the back garden, and Deb has to come to the window and say, "You're against the fence. Turn the mower around." So, you know, it's kind of that thing. I quit preaching on Sunday in some of the local churches and only do that once in a while. I wanted to share with you in the time, how much have we got? About 5, 6, 7 minutes? Yeah, probably. From Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. I'll just read a portion of this and then I'll just make a few brief points. This is a great passage that we've been drinking in over there with the GLOW team. We meet every other Friday night to pray, and then we meet for an hour before we go into the city, and we look at the Word and we pray. And this is a passage that's become really significant to us. It's like God wrote it just for us. Beginning in verse 58, he's already talked about they've been fasting, but they don't do it in the right way. They still are in rebellion. They're still sinning. When they fast, they come out of it. They're exploiting their workers. Their fast end in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. And God says, that's not really what it's all about. That's not what I intended to have happen. And he picks up here in verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And when you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. And then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression and with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the broken walls and the restorer of the streets with dwellings. Let me see if I can summarize this in just a few statements. And we'll, they may be up there, but let me see if I can summarize. In the beginning of the chapter, God is talking to them about fasting and about the things that they were doing in ritual form. And God was not saying that they were not significant or important, but he was helping them to understand that when people do the rituals that God has given to us, and we simply go through the motions of those rituals, then they do not have significance. God gives us these rituals, such as fasting and praying and the Lord's Supper, that it might connect us with him. That's the reason that we gather around the Lord's table. That's the reason that we read from the Word. It is to connect us with him. And as we're connected with him, we see his glory, and we see his mighty power, and we see his grace, and we are caught up in the essence and the greatness of who God is. And that's what ritual is to do, is we gather around the table to remember our sinfulness, our helplessness, but to remember the love of Jesus who died for you and for me. And so God has a good purpose with ritual, that it will cause us to remember him. It will reflect and help us to understand our helplessness without him, and that we can do what he wants us to do only as he empowers us and gives us of that strength to do it. And so he points that out to them. My intention is for you to draw near to me. You remember the experience of Isaiah in chapter 6. He sees God high and lifted up, and he is just blown away by the glory and the magnificence of who God is. And it causes him to reflect upon himself and say, whoa, I'm a person that's undone. I am sinful. I am not worthy. And God provides through the seraph forgiveness to him, which results in God saying, I want you to go. And Isaiah says, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And our experience and our encounter with Jesus and our worship of him should motivate us then, secondly, to be willing to serve others. And that's what he talks about here. He says, is not the kind of fasting the kind that looses the chains of injustice, that unties the yoke that is upon people to set the oppressed free, and so on and so forth. This ministry that we have that's going into the city, it's an open ministry, and we're targeting people between 20 and 30, and that's who we're looking. But you know what? We're also encountering the homeless. We're starting to feed the homeless. I don't know how we're going to do that. I don't know how we're going to keep that up. But we're doing that. We're going in. Because we're encountering the homeless who are there in the city in the night. And Jason and Phil and the different ones. And you know, with some, we're not getting done what we need to get done with them. Ollie, he overdosed just a couple weeks ago and died. He was a guy that we were working with. And another guy, Martin, he was just at the end of what was happening with him, and he took his life. And we want to reach those people. We want to unchain them from those things that oppress them and pull them down. And Jason says, Larry, I want to go into rehab, but somebody's got to take my dog. That dog is one mangy dog. I mean, it is a mangy dog. But you know, Ron said, Larry, if that's all that's stopping him from doing that, I've convinced my wife we'll keep that mangy dog while he goes through rehab. You see, it's being the presence of Jesus in the city and seeing the needs and reaching out to do something in that way. You saw some of the taxi drivers. Most of them are from Pakistan. They are Muslims. They are quite interested in speaking with us. It starts with the common theme that they don't consume alcohol and all the sexual stuff that's going on. It's a diabolical, and we're in agreement on that. But then that opens the door to say, but let me tell you something about some differences about who we acknowledge Jesus to be. And you know, some of those taxi drivers, they will pass by two or three or four fares of people trying to get in their taxi. They'll say, go to the taxi behind me. I am busy. And their busyness is they are talking with us about Jesus. It's incredible to see what potentially can happen with those. The doormen, the owners of the nightclubs, who would have thought in that way that in this ministry I would be known by the nightclub owners who, being an American and loudmouth, I guess everybody, even the mayor, knows who I am. But the point being that as we go into the city, it mentions here that your light will shine forth. In the message, it says, glow, your glow will be seen. I'm saying, yes, God's light on Worcester. In fact, I could give you so many examples, and we don't have time. I've taken my glasses off, so I can't see. It's almost time. Josh brought a friend over one night. Larry, this is Ryan. Ryan, this is the Larry I was telling you about. And so, Ryan, I asked him some questions. He starts swearing. What else would you expect from people who don't know Christ? That's the way they're going to be. Beer in their hand and swearing and whatever. Josh says, hey, Ryan. Ryan didn't catch the clue. He's carrying on. He's swearing. Josh goes, hey, Ryan. Ryan doesn't catch the clue. He's swearing. Now, if they swear with a reference to Jesus, I will stop that. But otherwise, I just let them go on. They're just going on. So finally, he swore again. And Josh smacked on him and said, Ryan, don't you get it? You're not supposed to use that kind of language in the presence of Jesus. I'm looking around. Oh, yeah, yeah. We are the presence of Jesus in that city. We are the light of God in that city. And, you don't have to be a rocket scientist that when we worship God and we fast and we pray and we're passionate about Him, we're passionate about God and about the Lord Jesus, then He'll open our eyes to see the needs of people around us. I live in a neighborhood, 47-year-old guy who just squeezed out of high school. He's been unemployed for about 17 years. He anguishes. He anguishes, but I'm sharing the gospel with him. And I'm promising when I get back to teach him how to drive my car and teaching him some basic skills. The doctor, retired doctor that lives next to me is an agnostic. Oh, we have some great conversations. And I let him check me over, to see how I'm doing. But tremendous, tremendous opportunities. They're all around us. They're all around us here in Anderson. They're here. Open your eyes and see those opportunities that we can help those who are oppressed. I got to be done. The last bit of this is great. He talks about the promises that are there. If we worship Him and we're passionate about Him and we respond in obedience to help those around us, then he says, you'll call on the Lord and He will answer you. This ministry that we're doing, there's nobody that's doing what we're doing. So I don't have any book that I can read to say, this is what we ought to do. We pray and we seek the Lord and let Him show us the way forward. And He answers. He says here that your light will rise in the darkness. The Lord will guide you always. And He will provide you with like a well-watered garden with a spring whose waters never fail. When we started the ministry, we were giving out about 100 bottles of water a month. Now we give out 500 bottles a night, 500 bottles a night. So we give out 1,000 bottles. If we can get a few more people on the team, we're going to start going out every Saturday night, which will mean we give out 2,000 bottles of water. That would be approximately 1,000 pounds or about $1,600 a month just in water we'd be giving away. Now, God's been faithful to us. After we got past that 100 that I could afford to give out, the water's being provided. And honestly, I'm not for sure who's doing it. I call the company that calls me and they say, we don't know. And they just deliver the bottles to our house. And it's an incredible thing. God is providing for us in that. That we can be the repairers of the broken walls and the restorer of the streets and the dwellings. We do have that vision. It's more than just church planting. It's creating a movement of churches that will be established. And it is the idea of claiming the city of Worcester. Worcester was known as a faithful city to a king who ran and hid in one of the pubs to escape being killed. And so they were deemed the faithful city to that king. I want to live long enough to see that city become the faithful city to the King of Kings. So we labor on and we go for it. And we are right on the edge of some things that God is going to pour out upon us in that way. May God bless you here. May you look beyond just reaching a few people with the gospel. May you begin to look and think in terms of reaching this entire city with the good news of Jesus. May God bless you in that. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the joy and the life that we have in Jesus. We thank you for the salvation that is ours because of what He did on the cross. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. As you have transformed our lives, may we be involved and invested in helping other people to be unchained, for their lives to be set free when they come to know Jesus and the truth that He provides. So we pray that you will bless us both in the ministry there in England as well as the ministry here in this community. We want the light to shine. We want Jesus to be lifted up. We want people to be drawn to Him. In Christ's name, amen.